This verse rocked his world. Many Christians know his name, but they don't know his pain. They don't know his original aspirations and his massive disappointment. He was a young rising star and wanted more than anything else to possess what others who were his peers and others who were older than him in his profession had attained. He wanted more than anything else to be legitimate. And he wanted a legitimate college theological degree. Isn't it natural for a preacher to want to go to seminary? And what if they don't have that degree? Will they be laughed at by their peers, never fully seen as respected? Someone that could never have a title before or after their name. And so this young rising star applied to a particular college, Regent's Park College. And he arrived a little early, and upon arriving early, he was escorted into a room by a servant girl, and there he waited to meet the president of the university in order to be admitted. But he waited for 5 minutes, which turned to 15, which turned to an hour, and still no president. Little did he know that the president had been escorted into another room, and the president was there waiting for him, and they never met. This young man walked out of that meeting dejected and angry at God. All he was trying to do was trying to live his life radically for God. And it seemed at the most inopportune time, God had deserted him. God had left him. But then this verse rocked his world. It changed his life on his way home from missing that all-important, in his mind, meeting. The meeting that was supposed to change his life. Instead, it was his Savior that yet again changed his life. And it was with these words that were etched into his heart. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seekest them not. And that young man walked home changed. He never went to college. He never received that degree. And yet God used him to change the world. You see, that man learned what we need to learn and be reminded of, that eternal greatness is measured by the degree that we surrender to the purposes of God. This morning we're going to talk about an unexpected opposition, an undetected ambition, and an unparalleled greatness. And if you would, this morning, if you would just remain seated, and if you would close your eyes, I'm going to read chapter 45 of the book of Jeremiah to you. Don't worry, it's only 5 verses. But mind you, these are 5 verses that are directed in the Bible directly at the man that we're going to be talking about today. A special message within the Bible for a person who felt dejected, abandoned by God. And God gave an invitation to join his great work. Go ahead and close your eyes. I'm going to read to you Jeremiah chapter 45. Hear God's word to you this morning. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he wrote these words in a book at the dictation of Jeremiah in the 4th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Baruch. You said, woe is me, for the Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am weary with my groaning, and I find no rest. Thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built I am breaking down, and what I have planted I am plucking up, that is the whole land. And do you seek great things for yourself? Seek them not. For behold, I'm bringing disaster upon all flesh, declares the Lord. But I will give you your life as a prize of war in all places to which you may go. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you would illumine our hearts and help us to hear what you are saying to your church today. I pray that you would help me to speak your words, that you would give me prophetic utterance, Lord, to declare that which you deem necessary for your people to hear this morning. Lord, it's in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Many times life doesn't turn out like we expect. Things happen and we take a turn one way or the other. Sometimes individuals have found themselves in marriages that were just disastrous or in careers they would have never chosen. Some have experienced physical diseases that they never would have anticipated when they were fresh out of high school. Life is full of surprises. Famous humorist and columnist Irma Bombach said, "Seize the moment. Remember all those women on the Titanic that waved off the dessert tray." You know what? We've grown in our technology and we can predict weather storms and fronts, cold fronts, etc. And we can, to a degree, know what's coming. But in life, we have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring. In our story here this morning, this individual named Baruch, who is a professional scribe, he wrote down words. He was friend of Jeremiah, who was the prophet of Israel. And as God would speak to Jeremiah, Jeremiah would speak and Baruch would write these words. And these are the words that are written down that we have today. Perhaps Baruch had big dreams and fanciful aspirations. But it seemed that his life started out really well. But then something happened. Baruch, the scribe of Jeremiah, penned all these words of the Lord. He must have been a promising man. His granddaddy was the governor of Jerusalem. His brother held a high position in the court of Zedekiah. He was trained and skilled as a scribe. So imagine today he's a 28-year-old. He's already received his PhD. He spent years of laboring and studying and working. And it seems that everything is going along swimmingly. It seems like all his hard work is going to pay off. And then it happens. The complete unexpected happened. And this good start takes a difficult turn. Everything had changed. He was charged to write down the words of Jeremiah. The only problem was this. All the words of Jeremiah were viewed as negative. You see, Jeremiah was standing before the nation and he was saying to the nation of Israel, "Repent because of your lawless deeds. Because of your lawless acts, the Lord is going to bring judgment upon you." And Jeremiah's ministry over 30 years was continually repeating the same thing. And now Baruch had come alongside the prophet of Israel and had associated with him. And in chapter 36, Jeremiah says to Baruch, "Baruch, my scribe, because everybody hates me, I'm not allowed to go into the temple and I'm not allowed to tell them what God wants to tell them. But you go for me and you go and speak for me with these words." So he goes and he speaks publicly. Then some of the officials say, "Come, we want a private audience with you." So Baruch speaks privately with them. And then some of those individuals take the words of Jeremiah through the pen of Baruch and they take them back to the king. And the king is exceedingly upset. And he burns every single one of those prophecies, every single one of those words. And he declares that Baruch, along with Jeremiah, are now to be captured and imprisoned. It was supposed to be his moment of glory. that he was delivering the words of God, and it seemed as if now the people of God would respond and God would return his favor, but instead they hardened their hearts towards God. And now Baruch is a wanted person. His life is completely changed forever and ever because of his association with Jeremiah. And so in verse 2, Baruch says to God, "You said, 'Woe is me, for the Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am weary with my groaning, and I find no rest.'" You see, Baruch grieves that God has, in his mind, ruined his career. All his hard work is for naught. And now he's suffering scorn and shame because he's just trying to do what God has told him to do. Because he's trying to be faithful and to speak the words that God is speaking, but no one would hear. Because certainly God cannot be a God of judgment. You see, certainly God cannot be a God who would somehow call into account the sins of his people. Because they were special people. They were people of God. And Jeremiah was saying that they were going to be judged. And they were going to be judged by this nation that we'll learn is Babylon. You see, the Israelite people were born, if you will, into religion. And they felt that it was impossible for them ever not to have the special favor of God. And so for them, the thought of somehow being subjugated by a foreign power and then removed out of the land and taken somewhere else, for them that was an impossible happening because for them, the temple was in the land, therefore God was in the land. And for them to be taken out of the land would be to be taken away from God. And certainly that would never happen. But that's exactly what Jeremiah was saying would happen unless they repented. But all the officials, all the leaders, from the king on down, rejected Jeremiah's message, rejected the Lord's message. I think sometimes we too reject the Lord's message, don't we? Sometimes we know God's leading us in a certain direction and we turned the other way. I know for years in my life, if you were to ask me, has there ever been a moment, Bruce, where you didn't believe there was a God? The honest answer is no. If you asked me, has there ever been a moment in your life, even when you were 6 years old or 8 years old or in your teen years, that you didn't know right from wrong? The answer is no. And year after year after year after year, I was just an immoral drunkard. All the while knowing what was right, what was wrong. Knowing that one day I was going to have to give an account to God. See, what the people of Israel who were hardening their hearts toward God didn't realize was that God intended this for their good. Not to somehow harm them as if he's this angry God that just wants to crush people and takes pleasure in it because they err and they sin. But he was calling them to repent, to acknowledge that they have sinned and to throw themselves on the mercy of God. And listen, I'm here to tell you, if the people would have repented, the judgment would not have come. But it did come. Babylon did come. And they ravaged the land. And during these three incursions that were happening over about 25 years, three different waves of people from Babylon destroying Jerusalem till finally in 586, the whole city fell. Jeremiah ministered during that time. And Baruch is looking out and he's seeing all the things are happening. And he's saying, "Woe is me," in the midst of all of that that is going on. His nation is falling apart. everyone is turning away from God. And he's saying, listen, I have been faithful to you. Woe is me. Have you ever felt like you were trying to radically do something for God and God kept allowing things to turn out poorly? Rather than experience success, you're only met with disappointment. That's how Baruch felt. Why talk about Baruch on New Member Sunday? What's the connection? This is part of the connection. What Baruch didn't see was he was doing the greatest thing possible by aligning his desires with God's desires, even though it was difficult and he didn't understand. What Baruch was doing was providing a message for us today, close to 3,000 years later. Baruch was given the privilege of writing Holy Scripture. And the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Not only was he allowed to be writing the word of God as he's dictating from Jeremiah, as God is speaking to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is speaking it, and Baruch's writing it down. Not only that, listen. An entire chapter in the Bible that's going to last forever and ever and ever is dedicated to none other than Baruch. That's pretty cool, isn't it? But he didn't see it. He didn't understand. He wanted to make his life count. But what he didn't understand many times is we make our lives count by aligning our lives with the purposes of God. And part of joining a local church is giving Christians the opportunity to be a part of the most important entity of the world, the church. To make their lives count, to join a local church and to give their lives to Jesus and to serve God along with God's people in accordance with God's eternal plan. Jesus said it this way, I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, Peter, listen, I'm going to build my church. And even the devil and all his array of demons and all of their power, they're not going to stop it. And we get to be a part of it. Sometimes I find myself more like Baruch. And I just find myself looking around at all the disappointments and all the aspirations that didn't seem to work out. And I wonder, Lord, it just seems so ordinary here at Sovereign Grace Community Church. Pastor's ordinary. People are ordinary. The baptismal thing is ordinary. It's just a plastic pool. How is this important? I'm reminded of that verse, Bruce. Upon this declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord, I'm going to build my church and my plans going forward, in other words, and nothing, not even the gates of hell, will come against it. And I get to be a part of that. You get to be a part of that. It's eternal. God's church, in a sense, is eternal because His church are really just His people. And they're eternal because an eternal God lives within them. But there was an undetected ambition, secondly. As we said, it was chaos during this time in 605 when the scroll was read and the king burned it. Pharaoh Necho was destroyed by the Babylonians in Egypt. King Jehoiakim was subject now to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who was destroying Jerusalem and all the surrounding country. And Baruch says to the Lord in his heart, woe for me, for For the Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I'm weary with my groaning. I find no rest. Lord, I'm weary. I'm tired of being disappointed over and over again. And the Lord says something striking to Baruch. He says there in verse 4, he says, "Behold, Baruch, what I've built, I'm breaking down, and what I've planted, I'm plucking up. That is the whole land. And do you seek great things for yourself?" In other words, he's saying, Baruch, look around you. People's homes are being invaded. Women are being raped. Towns are being pillaged. Children are being killed. It's a horrific time. And Baruch, while all of this is going on around you, still your greatest concern is that your name be great, that you accomplish something important. Listen, ambition is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. But it's when we seek the wrong kind of glory that God intervenes. And it's here with Baruch that he's seeking the wrong kind of glory, seeking his own glory rather than the glory of God. Hebrews 1:3 says that Christ is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. We are to seek for Christ's glory. But sometimes we become like Ananias and Sapphira. You remember the two individuals in the early church who there were individuals who were giving all they had. They were selling their lands and they were taking the monies and putting them in front of the leaders of the church and saying, distribute them any way you want. And to help out the poor and those who were destitute and in need. And so you remember Ananias and Sapphira, they sold their land, let's say for $30,000 or something along those lines. And they came to the apostles and they said they sold it for 15. And they publicly stated that. And they kept 15 back for themselves. And you remember what happened as Peter said, is this really the price that you have sold the land? And they said, yes, it is. And you remember Ananias immediately was struck dead because he lied to God. And you remember as they buried him, his wife came in and Peter asked her the same question. Is this the price for which you sold your land? For which she said, yes. And she said, the feet of those who just carried your husband away and buried him will carry yours away also. And you remember she fell dead. And all the church was aghast at the judgment of God. And the fear of the Lord gripped and grabbed a hold of the people. But I think sometimes that's how we can go wrong. We can try to smuggle a little bit of our own glory, like Ananias and Sapphira did, into the kingdom of God rather than snuggling up to the King of Kings. And it was God's kindness to Baruch to tell him the truth. Baruch, look around you. There are people that are dying. My judgment is falling upon them because they've hardened their hearts. I believe the Lord is saying that to us today as well. We rightly have celebrated these new members and individuals who've come into faith, and we've clapped because we're so excited for them and so amazed at what God has done. But there's so many more outside these walls that unless they repent of their sins, the judgment of God is going to fall upon them. And instead, it doesn't have to be that way. And one of the kindest things that God can do is to remind us to look around. And he says to Baruch, look around. Look what I've built. I'm breaking it down. What I've planted, I'm plucking up the whole land. And you seek great things for yourself. God's message to Baruch is, Baruch, remember all that I've done for you. Instead of making demands on God, Baruch, you should be celebrating what God has done for you and weeping for those who have not come to know him. But Baruch, you are a participant in what God's doing in Judah, an important participant. You're a friend of Jeremiah. And I imagine what those days must have been like for that prophet that was called to tell people like it is. You know, I think Christians get a bad rap many times, and they're called preachers of fire and brimstone. And sometimes the attitude's not right. And sometimes I kind of cringe as I kind of hear it, and it almost seems like people delight in talking about the judgment of God. And that's not right. That's not God's heart. But it's still the truth. As the Bible says, that we are appointed to die once, and then after that to face judgment. Listen, if you're here this morning and you haven't repented of your sins, God has to judge you. He has to punish sin. If He doesn't do that, He's not a good God. Because He's a God who overlooks atrocities. He's not a loving God if He doesn't do that. Because He's a God who's indifferent and doesn't care when people are murdered or stolen from, or when children are kidnapped, or when women are raped. He's not a good loving God because He's just turning a blind eye. But God is a loving God. He has to judge every sin, because every sin is not just directed horizontally, but it's directed vertically. In other words, when I sin against that person, whatever I do, let's say I punch someone in the face, not only have I sinned against them by doing that wrong, but God has told me to love my neighbor as myself. So when I do that act, I've not only sinned against him, but I've broken God's law and sinned against God. And so every sin that we live out, we are sinning directly against God. And God has to judge sin. But that's what's so marvelous about God. Did you see what God said to Baruch in the midst of this? Listen, look at verse 5. Baruch, and do you seek great things for yourself? Seek them not. Quit being concerned about your welfare and your career and being great. He says, for behold, I am bringing disaster upon all flesh, declares the Lord. But listen to what he says. But I will give you your life as a prize of war in all the places to which you may go. Isn't that beautiful? In the midst of the judgment of the people of God, and Baruch's one of them, God says, listen, Baruch, when Nebuchadnezzar comes and he slaughters the entire city, I'm going to save you. I'm going to protect you. And we know from the rest of the story that God did that very thing. Baruch, because you are just doing the ordinary thing, because you are just walking along, because you are joining my purposes, because you are directing your heart and you are living for me, I am going to save you yet again. I'm going to rescue you, Baruch. You see, every time I'm aware in Scripture that judgment's talked about, salvation is right around the corner. You see, when Jesus was judged on the cross for the sins of his people, and God meted out the punishment that their sins deserved, and Jesus took upon himself the sins of every pornographic viewing, of every child molestation, of every jealous heart, of every malicious act, when he took those upon the cross, God punished those things. His wrath was poured out on Jesus. But at the very same time, the love of God was on display. And whoever would turn and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ would be saved. You see, the cross is a wonderful demonstration of the love of God. The justice of God is on display. The wrath of God. Jesus is taking the wrath of God. That's why it was so atrocious. Not only because God was turning his face away from his son, but also God was inviting you in me to recognize that even though there's judgment, in the midst of that judgment for sin, listen, I myself am sending myself in the person of my Son to take your judgment in order that you might have salvation. See, Baruch, that would be you if it wasn't for me. And Baruch, listen, not only have I captured your heart, changed your heart, and caused you to love me and be a friend to Jeremiah, that I'm so thankful for people like Baruch. This might be wrong. I'm going to try to do it anyway. Hopefully you'll see my heart in this. I'm thankful in this church for Spencer Vaughn. And I was thinking of this yesterday. It was his birthday, and I, like usual, the good friend I am, totally forgot till my wife reminded me, like, 11:35 at night. So I sent an email. I think I made it by about 3 or 4 minutes before midnight. But what a help he's been to me and an encouragement to my life. Someone who would pray for me, encourage me, hear my sin. We need more Baruchs. And I wonder if we could interview Jeremiah today and say, Jeremiah, tell us about Baruch. I think he would probably say something along these lines. God promised me at the beginning of my ministry that the entire nation was going to turn against me. Kings, the officials, the governors, and the people. But God's been kind to me and He's given me Baruch. And He's been by my side. I pray that you would walk and that you would have a Baruch in your life. And that perhaps by the grace of God that you would be a Baruch to others. But you know what is so marvelous? Is we have one who sticks closer than a brother. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always there. He promises that even to the end of time He will be with us. He upholds us with His mighty right hand. He supplies all our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. No one can snatch us out of His hand. Do you seek great things for yourself? God said to Baruch, seek them not. I will give your life as a prize of war to all the places to which you would go. Why Baruch on a day like this? Why, as we're talking about New Member Sunday? This is why. I think many times we don't recognize the importance of the ministry that God's given us together as a church. I think because things are so ordinary and sometimes mundane, simple, we miss the extraordinary opportunity that God's given us. You see, He's allowed us, just like Baruch, to play a part in the master play, if you will, or drama that's going forward. We are allowed to be knitted in to a group of people. We are allowed to experience the things of God. We are allowed to watch as God puts on display individuals who are joining a church that He has recently rescued from sinful lives. And we recall how we were the same kind of people in the same kind of need. And we get the opportunity week in and week out to together as a team, as a group of individuals, to serve this King of Kings, to bring Him glory, and to do it together, and to be a part of something that's going to be eternal, something that the gates of hell will not prevail against. One day in heaven, the church, not just Sovereign Grace Community Church here in Roanoke, but the universal church, all of the people of God are called the bride of Christ, and they are going to be presented to Christ Himself as her husband. We get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of that end story that we read about in Revelation. But we don't have to wait till heaven. We get to be a part of that on a weekly basis. Sometimes, like Baruch, we can look out and things can look shiny on the outside. And as we look within, it just looks ordinary. But these individuals that we talked about that were baptized, they're not ordinary. They're blood bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for them, and He died for you. And then He says this crazy thing in Scripture. Even a cup of water given in My name is given unto Me. That as we come together and as we walk out the purposes of God together, as we encourage the faint-hearted, as we pray for those individuals who still don't know Christ, as we give money so that we can go to the Dominican Republic and share Christ there, as we walk on the streets of Roanoke sharing the gospel, as we live in our neighborhoods trying to reach out to individuals, we, listen, are having an eternal impact. And it's all to God's glory, and it's all because of His power. But listen, it's not ordinary. And Baruch needed that reminder. Listen, Baruch, do you realize what's going on? Do you realize what I've done? And do you realize who you are in Christ? And what I'm giving you the opportunity to do. Listen. God wrote Baruch an entire chapter of the Bible, personally. But Jesus stretched out His arms on a cross and bled and died and rose again from the grave for you, personally. And you don't have to walk out that door today not knowing this one. You too can experience this eternal life that we're talking about. I didn't intend to talk about this. I sense that's what God wanted me to do. So if the worship team would come forward, I'm going to pray. If you guys would come forward. We're going to sing a song together in closing. And then if we could, after that, we're going to allow our new members, if you would go ahead and go into the fellowship area. We have a special lunch prepared for you. And if you are a guest visitor as well, it gives you an opportunity to go ahead and go in that room as well. But we are going to, I want to share just a little bit. It's going to take probably 10 minutes at the most. But we as a church are trying to grow and being more scriptural. And so we talked about a number of months ago deacons, and we want to present to you two folks that we would like you to consider for being deacons in this church. And want just 10 minutes just to explain that and put those two people forward to you. And we can talk about it over the next month. If you'd please stand. I want to pray. Lord, I pray for anyone in here who is struggling with the ordinary. Not realizing that You are the God of the ordinary. Lord, I pray that the shininess of whatever may be attracting them, that perhaps is detracting them from living out Your purposes, I pray that You would cause that to melt away, that You would hold Yourself up great and glorious yet again, that they would see Your love, Your power, Your glory, Your majesty, Your splendor, Your strength, Your might, Your power, Your goodness and mercy. And Lord, they would fall in love yet again with You. I also pray, Lord, for those who are here today who perhaps turned their back on You and they know right and wrong. And they know they've rejected You. And that if they were to die this day, they would spend eternity out of relationship with You, eternity in hell. Lord, I pray that You would save them. I pray that they would cry out to You, have mercy upon me, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I pray that they would turn from their sins and say, Jesus, I want to follow You. And Lord, that You would save them. That You would save them even today. Let's sing together in response.